my dearest Christian friends, who find their true hope in the light of our salvation, that is Jesus Christ our Lord. As many of you are probably aware, I was born and raised in the great state of Michigan. I say great, but if I'm being honest, there's not a whole lot of things that can be a claim to fame for those of us who grew up in Michigan. One thing we can is lighthouses. Michigan has more lighthouses than any other state in the United States. In fact, it's near double. 125 lighthouses. If that's your kind of thing, if you've never done it, head over to Michigan. Drive up the west coast of the Lower Peninsula along Lake Michigan. See some beautiful and some historic lighthouses all the way around. The truth is that those lighthouses don't quite serve the same purpose that they used to. They're not as needed, at least not for their original purpose. Ships have different ways of navigating. Technology, GPS, to be able to map the seafloor, the lake floor, to know where to go and where not to. So maybe they're not quite as important, but they still function. They still do what they were intended. They still have that light color. Maybe a pulse of the lights in certain ways to say, look out, danger is here, shallow water. Or maybe to say, this is the way to follow to safely get into harbor. As we take a look at our gospel lesson for today, I want to look at just the first portion of it, which really, part of it is just a retelling of our Old Testament lesson from Isaiah, as Jesus shows himself to be the fulfillment of that prophecy from Isaiah. What we see, Jesus serving the same purpose as lighthouses. To be a beacon for the nations. To be able to shine a light on the danger that is sin. And also to be able to say, I can guide you safely home. I can be the way to heaven. And without me, you'll never get there. So I want to take a look at our gospel lesson again. And particularly realize Jesus as this beacon for the nations wasn't always accepted for who he was. Maybe you know that. Maybe you remember some of that. Jesus, a lot of people looked at him and said he can't be the Messiah that he claims to be because he comes from Nazareth. In fact, you take a look at the Gospels, they even say, Nazareth? Can anything good even come from there? Not only was it kind of a backwater little town, they knew the Messiah was supposed to come from the southern kingdom, from Judah, particularly from Bethlehem. They knew their scriptures that said, Bethlehem, out of you will come from me one who will be ruler over Israel. They knew that. And now all of a sudden here comes Jesus coming out of Nazareth. How quickly they had forgotten that Jesus was actually born in Bethlehem. How quickly they had forgotten what the prophet Isaiah had said, that here, out of this region of Zebulun and Naphtali, up there in the north of Israel, out of there would come the Savior. I want to take a look again at what Matthew wrote. We're going to do verses 12 to 17. It says, when Jesus heard that John was put in prison, he withdrew into Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. He did this to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, along the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and on those dwelling in the region and the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is near. A lot of people who didn't have a good understanding of what Jesus was, of who he was, and in fact, even in his hometown, they didn't understand. It'd been a little while now since what took place right before this. If you take a look right before this in Matthew 3 and the beginning of 4, it talks about Jesus' baptism, and then it talks about his temptation in the wilderness, and then about a year passes before all of a sudden we get to where we are. Jesus had gone back home. He'd gone back to Nazareth. He began to preach there. But maybe you remember how all that worked. as he said, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. When he started to tell them, I am the fulfillment of what you hear here, they were so angry they wanted to stone him. How could this Joseph's boy, the carpenter's son, be the Savior that he promised, that he said? You getting the impression that there are a lot of people in Israel who had a preconceived notion to make it so they couldn't understand who Jesus was and couldn't believe that he truly was who he claimed to be? So that's why it says he leaves Nazareth. He goes over to Capernaum. He goes into a different region there in Galilee, an important place right there on the road that leads to the Mediterranean, to Damascus, fishing village, where he'll run into some of his greatest disciples. Jesus goes there, and it was amazing because the people were eager to hear the promises of God and to find that beacon of hope. Of course, that's where Jesus would need to go. If you'll permit me, one more piece of history, because you have to understand the full context. Here Jesus is in that region of Zebulun and Naphtali, just as it was said, up there in Capernaum, and they called it Galilee of the Gentiles for a reason, because the northern kingdom, if you remember, was conquered. They were hauled off into what we call the Babylonian captivity. The people were made slaves, and what the nations did is they took other peoples from the surrounding area and they planted them into Israel. Because why would those people fight for a land that they had been put into? It wasn't their land. It was intended to quell rebellion. Well, all of a sudden you have the Israelites who are left, who are intermarrying. Now they're bringing in different customs. They're bringing in different nationalities. They're bringing in different gods and different worship. Should it really serve as any surprise then that he says those living in darkness, in the shadow of death, that's what those people were. They called it Galilee of the Gentiles for a reason because there were a lot of people there who didn't know who Jesus was. There were a lot of people there who didn't know who God was. They didn't know his promise. They lived in darkness. They lived in their heathen worship. They lived in sin. What happens when we allow people just to live in the darkness of sin without any hope, without any information? Sin leads to death. Death leads to hell. Of course, that's where Jesus would need to be. Because these were the people who needed to hear him. These were the people who needed to know him. He proclaims his message in a world filled with darkness. My question for you is this. Is anything really different today here among us in our own country than it was for the people then in Capernaum? Can we really say that we don't live in a world of darkness that has been corrupted by sin and is blind to the truth of who God is and who Jesus is? It's the same things, isn't it? There's a lot of people who have a different understanding of who Jesus is. A great moral man, a wonderful teacher. He'll tell you to love your neighbor, but nothing more than that. A misunderstanding on who God is? Well, he's just one of many. And as long as you believe something, that's okay. They don't take him as the true and only almighty creator of all things. And when it comes to following his word, well, you can make God what you want him to be. Follow what you like, but ignore the rest. Doesn't that sound like kind of the prevailing thought today? If not spoken, certainly in action. We are living in a world of darkness, those in the shadow of death. Because again, those who are lost in their sin, sin leads to death. Death leads to hell. There's no different. And so it makes sense that this is when Jesus would also need to preach. This is where he needs to be, right here among us, in our community, in our country, in our world, who don't know who Jesus is, and they don't see him as that beacon of light. So what does he do? Jesus had a very simple message. In fact, how he started is exactly the way that John the Baptist had been preaching before him. When he got hauled off into prison, now Jesus comes out. Same message, repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. He shines a light on sin. Call it what it is. Don't beat around the bush. Sin is sin, and it leads to death and hell. There is no way around that. That is what it is. To be soft on sin is to not be walking as Jesus walked. To say that it doesn't matter is to ignore what Jesus placed as a priority. We have to shine a light on sin. Call it what it is and see that there is great danger there. But then Jesus also proclaims, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you follow me, you will never walk in darkness, but you have seen the light of life. Jesus is the one who says, I am a beacon for the nations. I can lead you through this sin-darkened world because I have forgiven that sin, I have removed your guilt, and I can show you the way to heaven. It's through me. Follow me. This is Jesus' message. It sounds simple, doesn't it? In fact, that's one of the reasons why so many people have difficulty with it, because it sounds far too simple. We like to make things complicated, don't we? And if I'm not a good enough person, well, then I'm not good enough to get into heaven. You show me a good enough person to get into heaven, because I've never found one. That's why Jesus is the one who says, I have forgiven your sin, and I am guiding you to heaven. And that simple message works wonders. Look what it does. In fact, the second half of our gospel that I didn't reread, he runs into Simon Peter, he runs into Andrew, to James and John, and what do? They drop everything. They drop their professions, they drop their nets, they drop their families, and they follow him. One of the things that's not recorded, we're reading from Matthew. Where's Matthew? He's a tax collector in Capernaum. He's going to hear the message. And he's going to drop everything, and he's going to follow. And not just these men, but the 12, not just the 12, but we know Jesus had hundreds of followers, and he even sends them out to proclaim the simple message, repent, in Christ you find a Savior. And it had grand effect, because it saves from sin. We live in a sin-darkened world. And now, as his followers, he also says, I'm sending you out, just like I did these individuals, just as I did make these men fishers of men, so I have made you too. So that you can go out into the world and shine with the light of Christ. Not our own light. We just reflect it, like a mirror. You ever done that? Ever seen that? You get the sunlight come in, reflect a mirror, and it can bring light into an entire room? That's what we do. Out in a world of darkness, in that shadow of death, we shine with the radiance of Christ that the rest of the world may see. He has forgiven sin, and he is the path to heaven. We have become the beacon of hope as well. When we shine with the light of Christ in our lives, in our actions, and in our interactions. How wonderful of a privilege that is. Lighthouses may not serve the same purpose. They're still beautiful, but maybe the need for them isn't the same. Jesus, he is always relevant, and he's always needed, because there is no one else and nothing else that can remove that danger of sin in our lives and be that beacon that will lead us to harbor, that will lead us to our heavenly home. It's only Jesus. So, we then reflect the light of Christ that the world may know him, that beacon of hope for the nations. So there's only really one thing left for us to do, to go out and shine with the light of Christ. Amen.